Thank you for being here tonight, and thank you for the encouragement that you give me in the preaching of the gospel. I appreciate it very much. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 15, Paul said, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Another way that might read and say the same thing: the things that are seen are physical, but the things that are not seen are spiritual. It's hard for us to talk about spiritual matters in physical terms. God is a spirit, and yet we talk about him in physical terms. We do that so that we can identify in a human way with the characteristics of God that are divine. Tonight, for a few minutes, I want us to think about things physical and spiritual. We have a tendency to concentrate too much on things that are of a physical nature. I think all of us are guilty of that. If you sometime would sit down with your checkbook and your calendar and just look at what you have in there, look at how you're using your time and look at how you're using your money, I think you'll be surprised at how much of that time and money is dealing with things that are of a physical nature. There's nothing wrong with us thinking about physical things. God gave us the responsibility to labor in the very beginning of man's history, and that by the fruit of that labor, there would come the blessings that we need. But if we concentrate so much on physical things that we fail to think about spiritual matters and keep them in focus, then we have a problem. I thought it interesting that in that last song that we sang, there was the statement of manna from above. Manna was a physical food for the children of Israel. And yet it's used in that song in an image of exactly what we're talking about tonight, that it's manna from above that's really more important than the manna and the food and other things that we might get from the neighborhood or the community, that which is from above. I simply want to take six thoughts tonight that are mentioned particularly in the book of John and think about them first in a physical sense and then go back and think of them in a physical sense. These are some of the things that we probably think about the most. The first is from John 3, where the subject of birth is mentioned. In that discussion that Jesus had with Nicodemus, he talks about a physical birth in the discussion. He talks about that which is born of flesh. And Nicodemus even understood him to be talking about a physical birth when he begins the discussion and asks that question, "Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born again?" He was aware that there is a physical birth for each of us. That's something that we have come to understand, something that we expect. And usually, if in the bulletin we had an article that said there are three new births associated with the congregation, we would immediately think in terms of the physical birth. In other words, there are three families that have new babies. And we use that word and we talk about it. It's a part of every one of us, even throughout life. We each year celebrate birthdays. Of course, if you're with the Yahoos, you know that John celebrates one every month. You get a gift in the Yahoos if you have a birthday, and he has one every month. so he says. We're going to pray for him. But anyway, each one of us has a birthday each year. Someone asked me a question one time, said, how many birthdays does the average American have? And of course, I was going to be real smart, and I said, about 70. They said, no, just one. We celebrate it each year, but you just have one birthday. And there's a lot of truth in that, too. But we talk about the physical birth. That's the beginning of what we know as life, although life really begins at conception. Life, as we think about it, the living on this earth at least, that we think about as a person, we talk about the birth of a person, and we talk about the death of a person. So we use the word birth in a physical sense. In the second place, John 10 talks about a door. And we use the word door to talk about physical things. Jesus, in this discussion, at verses like 1, 7, and 9, and maybe other verses, talks about a door to a place where sheep are kept. Having grown up on a farm, I have an appreciation for the barn door being shut. If the door's not shut, the horse or the cow or the sheep or whatever it is will get out, and there's a problem. So one of the things that's very important on a farm is to take care of the doors. We had a smokehouse when I was growing up where we smoked the meat and kept the meat that we killed and other things. And we wanted to be sure that that door was secure so that wild animals could not get in. The door to that was very, very important. The door to your house is important. We're almost to the point now that none of us will go to bed without the door being locked. In fact, maybe not even go in the house without locking. We want to be sure that that door is secure. And yet we want to be sure that it's there, that it can be opened if we need to go through it. So a lot of the physical things that we think about are represented by the idea of a door. A third word that's used is the word light. We talk about the light being on, whether there's sufficient light in this room, where there is enough light for us to read, how much light we have when the sun is shining, and the lack of light when the sun is not shining. Many of the conversations that we have to do with light. And studies will be made as to what level of light we need when we're reading in a certain way and when we're doing other activities, because light has become a very, very important physical part of life. Darkness is the absence of light. And I suppose that no one can appreciate this to the extent that a blind person can, who goes about the activities of the day without having any access to light, has to depend on other senses. We are dependent in many ways on light. The natural light of the sun, and the artificial light that we have in buildings such as this. It's become a very important physical part of life. Another word that's used that's important to us physically is the word bread. Many times the word bread is used to describe all the food that we eat. Our daily bread. We don't mean just bread by itself, but food that is needed. And another word that is used in connection with that is the word meat. We may say that a person's not worth the meat that he eats. And we may use the word meat even synonymous with food again. Meat or bread. Those are physical terms. And frankly, I'm pretty concerned about those. I'm not against eating, as you may have noticed. I'm not against bread. I'm not against meat. But do we think sometimes more about the physical food that we need than we do the spiritual food that we need? And then there is the subject of water. Man can't go very long without water. Water is very important to us, and many times when there is an illness, the doctors will tell us to drink more water. We need more water in the body. God made us in such a way that we need that. And we talk about being thirsty and wanting something to drink in a physical way. That's something that's very important to us. And so when he says here the things that are temporal are the things that are of this world, the things that are seen, you and I see each of these things. We see the concept of birth taking place. We see the door to the building. We see the bread and the meat and the water and the light. We deal with these on a regular basis, and if you stop and think about it, many of the bills that we pay are to help us to have these physical ideas and concepts. You pay an electric bill, a part of that is light. You go to the grocery store, you're dealing with bread and meat. You have a way that you can get water out of a spigot, or you have the bottled water, some way, something to drink. A lot of what we spend is really spent for these things that are temporal. When the end of this world comes, according to 2 Peter 3, all these elements are going to be destroyed and melt with fervent heat. They're temporal. They're physical. But let's go back and think for a few minutes about these six ideas in a spiritual setting. The word birth. Jesus was really teaching about the spiritual birth there in John 3. A birth that he described of water and of the Spirit. And then emphasized a little later, you must be born again. In other words, you need to think in terms of something more than the physical birth. I would guess that there's not one of us in this building tonight, but who knows his date of birth physically? Do you remember your date of birth spiritually? Do you remember the day that you were baptized into Christ and born into the kingdom of God to become a newborn babe in Christ? If you don't, you ought to find out and renew your memory of that and keep that in mind. It would be good in a sense if we would at least think about and maybe even celebrate, if you want to use that word, the date of spiritual birth as well as the date of physical birth. May the 26th every year is important to me. That's my physical birthday. October the 19th is, in a sense, even more important. That's my spiritual birthday. I was baptized into Christ October the 19th, 1953. I remember that date. I constantly think about, well, not constantly, but on a regular basis think about that date of birth, being born again. I'm thankful for my physical birth because that means that at that point I entered into a family relationship with people that have meant a great deal to me. And yet in the same sense spiritually, my spiritual birth means there was a day that I entered into a relationship with people that mean a great deal to me. We need to emphasize the things that are spiritual, the things that are eternal. One of these days, when we're gone from this earth, that physical birth won't mean much except to occupy a few inches on a tombstone. But that spiritual birth, the physical birth won't mean so much, but the spiritual birth is going to us, in a sense, continue with us for an eternity, because it's that spiritual birth that put us in the relationship with God that makes it possible for us to live an abundant life here and an eternal life when this life is over. And I think that's what he's saying here in 2 Corinthians 4. We think about the things that are temporal, and we really need to be thinking about the things that are eternal. Think about the subject of the door. In this setting where Jesus is talking in John 10 about the door where the sheep go in and out and find pasture and go back in at night into the safety of what we sometimes call the sheepfold, he's talking about a door, but then he says, I am the door. He himself said he's the door where people enter into that fold of Christian people. And he even used it in another image that he's a door through which people go in and out and find pasture and find what they need. And he doesn't mean by that that we enter into Christ and out of Christ, but that it's through him that we have the entrance and the exit to do the things that we need on a daily basis to live the Christian life. And he says, I am that door. And there is just the one door into Christ and into the church. And when people try to put other doors and make additional doors, they get into problems. You ever thought about it or not, but God had only one door into the ark, into the safety physically in that case. And he has the one door into the ark of safety, the church in Christ, in a spiritual sense. So we need to think about that spiritual door. And a part of the message that we take to the world in carrying the mission to the entire world is to say to people, there is a door where you can enter. And anybody can enter into that door. I've seen some doors where I couldn't enter. I've been to some places where I didn't have the credentials to get through that door. But any one of us, whatever the background, whatever the circumstances, who's willing to obey Christ, has the opportunity to go through him as the door into the right relationship with God. That's a spiritual door. And it's more important than the physical door. Think about light for a moment. In John 9, where Jesus healed the blind man, he said in that, especially verses 5 through 7, I am the light of the world. John 1 calls him the light, calls him the Word also in that passage. He was God and he was with God. He's that light that gives life that came into the world. Jesus is the light. His word is sometimes described as the light. It gives us, it shows us what the truth is and enlightens us. That word enlighten is used many times to talk about the teaching of the Bible, enlightens us about what the truth is. Jesus is the light of the world. He is that beacon that we can see and constantly go toward him. It makes it to where we are not walking around in darkness and not knowing what to do. We mentioned bread. In John 6, in connection with the feeding of the thousands that he did different occasions, he says, I am the bread of life. And we sang, as I said a moment ago, about the manna that is from above. You remember when the children of Israel needed something to eat, that God sent manna. Some kind of wafers, I suppose. And they picked that up, and then that was sufficient to take care of their needs physically. And there's the evidence that Jesus is that manna. He is that bread, that spiritual bread from above, meaning that he gives us all the nutrients that we need for the spiritual life. We talk about nutrients, we talk about vitamins, we talk about having the things that we need to give us the proper metabolism and proper balance in the body. Well, Jesus is that light of the world, and he is that bread that gives us what we need to eat, what we need to have in order to grow spiritually. We're told as newborn babes in 1 Peter 2:2 to desire the milk of the word. And then admonished in Hebrews 5:12 through 14 to not just stay with that milk alone, but to add the meats, the deeper things of the gospel, to where we understand them by reason of time and exercising of our senses, able to understand more about the Bible. But it's used in the sense of bread, and it's used in the sense of meat. And then there is the water. There's no place in the Bible where the idea of Jesus as the water of life is discussed any more or any better than in John 4, with the incident of the woman at the well. She came to the well to draw physical water. And I'm working on another lesson that I'll bring later on, maybe a few months from now, from that passage. There's a statement in that passage that I'd never thought of until recently. She left her water pot and went to tell them about Jesus. She came with a responsibility, she came with a need, she brought a water pot to get water, and yet she found something that was more important than that, and so she left her water pot, at least for a period of time, to do something that was more important. And I think that even suggests the importance of the spiritual water. Jesus said, if you drink of me, you'll never thirst. I'm rather sure that that woman had a hard time understanding what he was saying. till she finally realized that he was the Messiah. She says, "I've come to get water." He says, "Well, if you'll drink of me, you won't need any more water. You'll never thirst again." Meaning that he has the sufficient supply of everything that is needed. When I was growing up, we didn't have water in the house. We had a well out in the front yard. And we lived down in a valley. We called it a holler. And pretty close to the water level. When we dug that well, it was only 6 feet to the water. And there was 6 feet of water. And I drew it out with the old bucket. You remember the bucket that you put down in the well and pulled it out? And later on, Dad decided that we needed a greater supply of water, and he had them to drill through the rock at the bottom of that 12 feet and go down, and we had a stream of water that we could never lower. We even put a pump on it and pumped it for hours and hours, and that stream supplied so much water that we could not even lower the level. And no matter how much of a drought we had in the summer, we always had that water from that well to take care of the needs of cattle and things like that, because it was basically ever supplying. It never went down. That's the way the water of life with Christ is. It's a constant supply. You cannot lower the water level. No matter how much you take, there's still that much more left, because he is the water of life discussed there in John 4. The lesson tonight is a very simple one. I intended it to be that. And it's maybe a little bit shorter than some of the lessons that we have. But I want us to concentrate on the fact that he says here, there are some things that are physical, and there are some things that are spiritual. And it's interesting he uses that word things in both cases. There are some things that are physical. Those are not necessarily bad. In fact, they're necessary. They're needed. But he says, when we allow ourselves to concentrate on the physical things and forget the spiritual things, then we've got a problem. Because the physical things are temporal, and the spiritual things are eternal. All of those things that we put aside, that we save and keep, every one of those is going to be gone one of these days. Every house that we've built, every car that we drive, every piece of clothing that we wear, everything that we fill our closets with to where you don't have room to put anything else, all those things are going to be gone. They're not bad, at least most of them. There are some things that are bad in and of themselves, but most things that are physical are not bad if they're put in proper focus. But we can't not put them in proper focus unless we think about the things that are spiritual. Which means going through that door with that new birth to where we then have the light and the bread and the meat and the water, spiritually speaking, that comes from Christ. That's what Christianity is about. And if you're not emphasizing the spiritual things in your life, maybe you need to stop and take inventory of all the things that you have. Use the things that are physical to help you to enjoy the things that are spiritual, those things that come from Christ. And if you're not a faithful Christian and need to come to become a Christian or to make things right with God, the Lord's invitation is yours as together we stand and sing.